Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle this Thursday morning with Elliot Danker, Manisha Tank and Ryan Hwang. It is time for the bigger picture and, of course, the big news that's out today. Donald Trump, the first president in U.S. history to be impeached twice.
Also, first actor from Home Alone 2 to be impeached twice. Just some fun facts. 10 of his fellow Republicans joined Democrats in the House of Representatives to charge him with inciting an insurrection in last week's violent rampage in the Capitol.
Yes, he did a more than five-minute video from the Oval Office today, condemning that violence, but many are asking, well, where was that last week? Yep. Meanwhile, the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee is saying it's scheduled a confirmation hearing of President-elect Joe Biden's nominee to be Director of National Intelligence, but all of this is just setting the precursor to various cabinet nominees and them being cleared by the Senate, and all of that leading up to, you know, this new administration. What it means for markets is very much in focus.
That is right. So tonight we will get more details around that package. Let's get a bigger picture from Shane Oliver. He's the chief economist and head of investment strategy at AMP Capital. Morning, Shane. How are you doing?
I'm good, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good as well. Hey, Shane, glad to have you on the line. Let's get some insights from you around what you think is going to be the impact, or at least the what markets are pricing in terms of what's happening with Donald Trump's last week in office, all eyes on his impeachment. How much do you think markets will pay attention to what's going on there?
Well, so far, not a lot, simply because, as we saw last week, for example, the main issue was the fiscal stimulus coming through in the US. The election in Georgia cleared the way for more stimulus. And also the political turmoil being seen in the US is not seen as dramatically changing things, in the sense that Joe Biden is almost certain to be inaugurated next Wednesday. There will be a transition, at which point then the Democrats will have a clean sweep with control of the presidency, the House, and, of course, the Senate, albeit it's a very narrow lead in the Senate. That's what the markets are more focused on. If alternatively the impeachment leads to a new round of civil disobedience in the US, protests, violent protests like we saw last week, that actually impacts economic activity as opposed to being something that's terrible when you see on your TV screen but doesn't impact economic activity, then we could see more of an impact on markets. But it's unknown as to whether that's going to occur. We know there's probably going to see, we're going to see more protests next week, but it's not at all clear that that's going to have a significant impact on economic activity. Much as we saw with the Black Lives Matter protests back in July, terrible scenes on the TV, but markets didn't really focus on it that much for the simple reason that it wasn't having much of an impact on economic activity.
That's right, Shane. Seems markets are more focused on the stimulus package, and we've been hearing from Joe Biden saying the previous round was just a down payment that was $900 billion. He's saying the next one is going to be worth trillions of dollars. Shane, what are you looking out for? How big do you expect this to be, and has this already been priced in?
We're looking for another total package this year of $2 trillion, so more than double what we saw with the package agreed in late December. That, of course, will probably be split into two components, an initial earlier amount, maybe $1 trillion, maybe $1.5 trillion, focused on pandemic relief, relief for the states, an increase in stimulus payments, the $2,000 payments that have been talked about. Mind you, of course, $600 of that has already been paid out. So that will be the initial focus, and that will probably come in the next couple of months. And then later in the year, we'll see more of a focus on things like infrastructure, climate action, and, of course, healthcare. So that's what's likely to happen. I think the markets have largely priced that in, but, of course, as the economic impact starts to show up, there could be more to come. Yeah, for example, consensus estimates for earnings in the US still seem too low. So there could still be a bit more upside here, even though the bulk of it has been priced in.
Yeah, Shane, around this discussion around the fiscal stimulus package, this is against the backdrop of rising debt and also a record deficit. In fact, the first quarter deficit was at a record $573 billion. What are implications of this ballooning debt? Who's going to pay for this?
Well, taxpayers will pay for it, and future generations will pay for it. And it's the price, I guess, that Americans and many in other countries, including Australia and Singapore, will pay for minimising the economic damage caused by the pandemic and the lockdown. So I think that's a reasonable thing to have happened. The alternative was to let the US economy, let the global economy slide into depression, from which it would take a lot longer to recover. So taxpayers will foot the bill. There is some debate about how much of that debt might ultimately be monetized. In other words, a lot of that debt is being held by the Federal Reserve and, in the case of other countries, by other central banks. Maybe one day some of that debt will be cancelled, but time will tell on that front. But the short answer is taxpayers will pay for it. But I think it's in the great scheme of things, it's a relatively small price to pay for avoiding a deep 1930s-style depression, which is what we could have seen happen earlier this year and still be in, were it not for all that stimulus.
Yeah, it's a bit of a balancing act when it comes to these things. Shane, just to wrap things up, we've also been noticing a new buzzword. It's called the super cycle, and this is the commodities super cycle, where we saw a big boom in prices back in the year 2000 for things like copper, food, oil. And this buzzword is coming back again because copper prices are at 8-year highs. What's driving this latest rally, and do you see a similar boom panning out like we saw 20 years ago?
It does seem as if we may be doing that. The last time we talked about the super cycle, as you said, was through the early 2000s. For many commodities, it came to an end at the end at the time of the GFC, the global financial crisis. For some, it continued into 2011. For example, the iron ore price kept going up in 2011. But since then, we've seen a super cycle downtrend that looks to have bottomed out probably last year, and we look to be in a super cycle uptrend, and that's being driven by a whole bunch of things, but obviously government efforts to reinvigorate global growth, ultimately economic recovery, and a decline in the value of the US dollar. Because don't forget, all these commodities, whether it's copper or iron ore or zinc or even gold, are priced in US dollars. So as the US dollar goes down, that gives an added impetus on the upside. So I think we are seeing a super cycle here, and I think it's probably got several years to run.
All right, so maybe good news for commodities exporters like Australia with this super cycle underway. And we're talking with Shane Oliver. He is the Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Shane, thank you as always for your time, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Thank you, Ryan. Hope you have a great day.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.